Hello and welcome to The Singer's Vault. I'm Artistic Director and Conductor Matthew Culleton. Episodes of The Singer's Vault brought to you in part by Cody Lowry and Laurie Jacoby and Kvernstone, Rönholm and Associates, consultants in architectural acoustics. Check them out at kracoustics.com. Matthew Culleton here, Artistic Director and Conductor of The Singers. That was music of Frank Furco, a piece we've really come to love in The Singers, the closing movement of his Festival of Carols, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. A piece selected by my guest today, alto in the choir, Jess Bandlin. Hi, Jess. Thanks for doing this with us today.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
Talk first about what you do and how long you've been with the choir.
I joined in 2011 and sort of have been kind of lots of places. I started as a soprano one and then I moved to soprano two and now I'm an alto one. So that's been kind of fun to be able to meet different members of the choir just as I move across the row.
Yeah. If my math serves me right, you should be a tenor two in about 4 years.
Yeah, that sounds fair. That sounds good.
And Jess, you and I know each other too from our church positions. We're both members of the music team at the House of Hope Presbyterian Church. Tell us about your role there.
I am the assistant director of the children's program at House of Hope. This is my 21st year there.
Wow.
Which seems really long. It seems like that's the kind
of... Well, because it is.
That's like what a real like... full grown-up would say. I've had that job for 21 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then I also teach piano and just sort of do things here and there. I've got three kids at home, and so their schedules and my schedule usually means that I'm doing just lots of little things.
Sure, yeah.
Try to do as much music as I can. Sharing my love of music with children is pretty much what I've been doing for 2 decades.
Wow. Yeah. Which is great because I need another generation of singers, you know?
I mean, right?
Maybe music educators in the choir are just doing well for the cause.
You got it.
Well, let's talk about the next piece that you selected. This is by one of our former composers in residence, and it's become a real stalwart on our Christmas programming. You chose Abby Bettinus's In the Bleak Midwinter. What makes that piece kind of come to the top of your list?
Well, I think Abby's voice is just so beautiful and unique, and it's truly a joy to be able to sing her work. In the Bleak Midwinter is one of my favorite Christmas songs of all time. I mean, it's a beautiful piece just from what Holst wrote, but Abby has put her own spin on it in a way that makes it her own, but then also keeps that nugget of beauty with the harp accompaniment and the beautiful duet section with the choir underneath. It's one of the classics of the modern choral repertoire, I think, and I'm really glad that we get to sing it.
We've often started the concert with this piece because programmatically you can go in any number of directions out of this setting. It's sort of this mysterious way to open a concert. Mm-hmm. But I agree. She really puts a unique spin on one of the most popular Christmas carols, hymns of all time. And in her arrangement, she does, as you said, use the Gustav Holst melody and harmony for her launching point, and then also incorporates a text that goes a bit afield from the one that Holst uses. All of the music you're hearing today was recorded live in concert in December 2012. Soloists on In the Bleak Midwinter are Sarah Fredrickson and Lynette Johnson. Harpist is Min Kim. This is The Singers and I, Abby Bettinus' setting of In the Bleak Midwinter. Thank you. That was music of Abby Bettinus, her arrangement of Gustav Holst's setting of In the Bleak Midwinter. Min Kim, harpist Sarah Fredrickson, and Lynette Johnson, soloists. I'm here again with alto Jess Bandolin. Jess, when we were talking about this episode of The Singer's Vault, the piece that really came to your mind immediately was Steve Heitzig's Little Tree. To put this conversation in context, I think it's important that I point out that on Friday, December 14th, 2012, one of the largest school shootings in the history of the country happened in Newtown, Connecticut at Sandy Hook Elementary. 28 students and teachers dead, 2 injured. This came in the midst of our performance of our annual Christmas concert series. This was on Friday, December 14th, and we still had one concert to give on Sunday, the 16th of December, 2 days later. Talk a little bit about how real life intersected with our art.
In my home, I can speak to my personal experience. I had an 8-month-old baby and a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. And there is a beautiful image in Little Tree where it's spoken from the perspective of a child. And it says, "And my little sister and I will take hands and dance around our beautiful tree." And I would just imagine while we were rehearsing this for the month up to the concert, my beautiful little family and my little 8-month-old who was just starting to stand and walk, and I had this image of her holding hands with her brothers dancing around the tree. And everyone in the group really would talk at rehearsals about just how beautiful the imagery in this piece was, about how it just kind of embodied everything that was lovely about the Christmas season, that just the lights and the family and the togetherness and those kind of things. So when we sang it the first weekend, I know it was a favorite of a lot of the singers, and it was definitely very well received by the audience. I think everybody just thought it was so lovely. And then in the aftermath of this horrific, tragic situation in Newtown, I honestly could not think of anything worse. No. And all these little babies who are just the same age as my big babies. Then suddenly this beautiful moment of family togetherness kind of felt like it was going to never happen again for all these families. They wouldn't have this moment of holding hands, of looking at beautiful lights. So when we sang it again that weekend, we were all, I think, reeling from the news. And it was a struggle to get through it as performers. This piece, even though it had been flipped 180 degrees, like it was completely a different feeling and a different image in our minds, I think the act of coming together and making this music and making something beautiful in a world that had radically changed was healing in its way.
Thank you.
That was music by Steve Heitzig. The poem Little Tree by E.E. Cummings captures so beautifully Christmas morning, family holding hands, singing Noel, Noel around the tree. That piece was selected by my guest today, alto Jess Bandolin from The Singers. More from Jess in just a bit. The 2012 concert also marked a special world premiere performance of a piece by retired Minnesota music educator and my high school choir director, Bob Sieving. This piece is called So Hallowed and So Gracious Is the Time, and it is drawn from Shakespeare's Hamlet, Act 1, right toward the beginning of the play. American Christian author Frederick Buechner offered up on his website a Christmas Day essay in 2016 on this exact text. So hallowed and so gracious is the time. These lines from the first scene of Hamlet, in a sense, say it all. We tend to think of time as progression, as moment following moment, day following day, in relentless flow. The kind of time a clock or calendar can measure. But we experience time also as depth, as having quality as well as quantity, a good time, a dangerous time, an auspicious time, a time we may mark not by its duration, but by its content. On the dark battlements of Elsinore, Marcellus speaks to his companions of the time of Jesus' birth. It is a hallowed time, he says, a holy time, a time in which life grows still like the surface of a river, so that we can look down into it and see glimmering there in its depths something timeless, precious, other. And a gracious time, Marcellus says, a time that we cannot bring about as we can bring about a happy time or a sad time, but a time that comes upon us as grace, as a free and unbidden gift. Marcellus explains that Christmas is a time of such holiness that the bird of dawning sings the whole night through as though it is perpetually dawn, and thus for once even the powers of darkness are powerless. At Christmas time, it is hard even for the unbeliever not to believe in something, if not in everything, peace on earth, goodwill to men, a dream of innocence that is good to hold on to, even if it is only a dream. For a moment or two, the darkness of disenchantment, cynicism, doubt, draw back at least a little, and all the usual worldly witcheries lose something of their power to charm. Maybe we cannot manage to believe with all our hearts, but as long as the moments last, we can believe that this is of all things the thing most worth believing. And that may not be as far as it sounds from what belief is. For as long as the moment lasts, that hallowed, gracious time. Words of Frederick Buechner, the American Christian author, originally published in The Faces of Jesus, and now available for everyone to read and see on his website, frederickbuechner.com. Hear now the world premiere performance of Bob Sieving's So Hallowed and So Gracious Is the Time.
So gracious, some say.
Music by Bob Seeving. That is the world premiere performance in 2012 of Bob's So Hallowed and So Gracious Is the Time. I'm here with alto Jess Bandolin. Jess, thanks again for being with me today. I'm wondering if you have any thoughts to share about our final composer, one of the singer's dear friends, Stephen Paulus.
I've sung Pilgrim's Hymn in every group I think I've ever been in. Almost everybody I know from church knew Stephen and loved him. And obviously, as a musician, I'm so grateful for the incalculable gifts he's given our community.
Jess, I want to just say thank you so much for being a part of the Singer's Vault today.
Well, this was just nothing but fun. I'm so excited that you're in the podcast world, and I'm looking forward to lots more interesting perspectives on all the different music from all of my colleagues.
Hope you and your family have a great Christmas.
Yeah, thanks. You too, Matt.
Thank you. Well, we're going to close with music of Stephen Paulus. Again, all of the music you heard today was recorded live in concert in December of 2012. Ending that concert was this arrangement of Stephen Paulus's This Is the First Noel. I'd like to thank today's guest on The Singer's Vault, alto Jess Bandolin. All of the performances you heard today were recorded live in concert in December 2012. To hear additional podcasts and learn all about The Singers, visit our website at singersmca.org. I'm Artistic Director and Conductor Matthew Culleton, hoping you'll continue to join me in exploring The Singer's Vault.